The film producer Ismail Merchant died yesterday at the age of 68 after undergoing surgery Tuesday for abdominal ulcers. In his 44-year collaboration with the director James Ivory, he made such films as A Room with a View, Howard's End, and The Remains of the Day. In his New York Times obituary, Warren Hoag wrote, quote, Merchant Ivory came to symbolize scenes of rich decor and period atmosphere, palaces and parade grounds of India, castles and country houses of Europe, and lavish dinners and drawing room intrigue. The two men asserted that the opulent settings were essential to portraying the breadth and diversity of the culture clashes central to their screenplays, unquote. Merchant and Ivory had been shooting a new film, The White Countess, based on a novel by Kazuo Ishiguro. He also wrote The Remains of the Day, which Merchant and Ivory adapted into an acclaimed 1993 film of the same name. Here's a scene from it. Anthony Hopkins plays the impeccable and devoted butler, Stevens. James Fox plays Lord Darlington, the master of the house. The film takes place just prior to World War II. Darlington Hall is hosting a meeting of diplomats and aristocracy who are inclined to appease Germany and come to an accommodation with Hitler. In this scene, Lord Darlington tells Stevens that two of the cleaning girls must be let go.
Stevens.
Yes, ma'am.
We have some refugee girls on the staff at the moment, I believe.
We do, my lord. Two housemaids, us and Irma.
You'll have to let them go, I'm afraid.
Let them go, my lord.
It's regrettable, Stevens, but we have no choice. You've got to see the whole thing in context. I have the well-being of my guests to consider.
My lord, may I say, they work extremely well. They're intelligent, polite, and very clean.
I'm sorry, Stevens, but I've looked into this matter very carefully. There are larger issues at stake. I'm sorry, but there it is. They're Jews.
Yes, my lord. Thank you.
A scene from The Remains of the Day. The screen adaptation was written by Ruth Prawer Jabvala, who often collaborated with Merchant and Ivory. Ismail Merchant grew up in India, in the city then called Bombay, and came to the U.S. in 1958. Where he started making movies. In 1987, I asked him what kind of movies he hoped to make.
What I wanted to do is just not make purely American films as such. I wanted to make films with India and America, a theme which would be more interested from the point of view of East and West, and cross-cultural things.
How is it going to be cross-cultural in terms of the cast, the subject
matter? The cast, subject matter. I mean, I wanted, when I was in college, in Xavier's, St. Xavier's College in Bombay, you'd make a list of future films I would do. And in that future films, I would have Susan Hayward with Dilip Kumar or Raj Kapoor with Rita Hayward. You know, that kind. That Raj Kapoor and Dilip Kumar were the two biggest stars in India for me. And I would then draw these, cast from different countries, particularly Hollywood and India, because Bombay is Hollywood of India. So there was no resistance at all, because this was something new. Hollywood had made Indian films from one point of view. I mean, they had Ganga Din, and they had, but those were all studio films. Very rarely did they have a film entirely set on locations in India.
Did you go to see many of the American films about India, and what did you think of how they portrayed India and Indian people?
Well, that was very comical. It was like a joke, you know. I mean, you saw the rope tricks and the mongoose and the snake charmers and the maharajas and, you know, I mean, all that kind of a thing. But it was a Hollywood version. You know, you could see that the costumes were quite wrong and the accent was wrong, because they always thought that Indians spoke in a certain way. You know, so they tried to depict that accent, you know. And then I remember Sabu being introduced in Hollywood. You know, the elephant boy.
You obviously have a passion for movies, and you've been able to define your job as you've wanted to, because you're, you know, the head of your company, really. how do you find your job? How do you define your job as producer? How involved do you allow yourself to get in the actual production decisions, casting, screenplay writing, editing, what the shoot's going to be like?
Well, first of all, the subject matter. you know, the story, which I'm involved in, Ruth is involved in, and Jim is involved in. Once that is done, then we start with the casting. Then the casting, it becomes very important. And when we get that all sorted out, then while that is going on, we also look for finance. Mostly me, I go to people and approach them that this is a possible casting, this is the budget, and this is the location, this is the script. And then James Ivory, we start planning the shoot. You know, we hire technicians 6 weeks before or 4 weeks before, because ours is a very involved production thing, you know, the production designing. So once that is done, then I leave Jim to do the shooting. Once the film is finished shooting, then the editing process. Now, the editing process is quite tricky and involved, and you have to sit there in the editing room practically all day, which Jim does with the editor. So I go away and I start thinking about publicity, promotion, doing the poster, designing, and all of that. Once the rough cut is done, then Ruth, Jim, and I see the film together. And then there is a lot of discussion, argument, you know, sometimes the scene doesn't work. So those things are then seriously either taken into account, and then Jim re-edits it and then brings it into a length, because we always have that we should, whatever we want to say in the film should be said within 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Did you ever think seriously about being a Hollywood producer?
I was first, when I went to Hollywood, 1960 and 1961, when I spent a year there, I saw these lots, and you know, the cars with the names of the producer on a lot of 20th Century Fox and Paramount, and I was very fascinated by that. Each one had an office, and all the sort of paraphernalia that goes, you know, with a Hollywood producer was given to them and was available to them. But later on, I felt that I really didn't want to become a part of the Hollywood scene as such, because, you know, meeting people then and talking to them, some of the actors or some of the producers, that they were just there as what you call it, a skeleton, you know. I mean, their entire life was dependent on what the studio wanted them to do. And I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to be an independent producer and make my own films, have my own company.
Film producer Ismail Merchant, recorded in 1987. He died yesterday at the age of 68.